Thank you so much. Man, Dennis, I love you. I just want to let you know, you guys here, I love this. This is actually my third year being a part of this. And man, I love coming to this church. Many times I've made my way through this church, and I absolutely love it. I just want to let you guys know, you guys have an amazing pastoral team here. Come on, give it up. I can say each one of them are my friends. Like when I see them at at leadership conventions or kind of pastor get together, I hang out with them. I love being around them. They encourage me. They lift me up. They challenge me. You guys have an amazing team here, and thank you so much. It's an honor to be a part of this. It's an honor to just be able to speak here at this church. And what an amazing opportunity, like to see kind of the global impact that this church is making. Come on, give a hand for yourself. Like, that is amazing to be able to walk through. And when I see all these booths and the missionaries coming, that this is the global impact that we are able to make. So that's absolutely amazing to see that. I want to introduce my family. I got a picture because my little one's up in children's church. So that's my crew. So that's my wife. My wife's right here. And our little one, Lila. And then our oldest, Eliana. She's at children's church. And I run a women's dorm. That's what I do. I'm a dean of women. That's what God has called me to right now. So that's my life. So I don't try to solve things. I just try to understand. I just try to understand. Oh man, I can't believe you went through that. Just come over here. All right, no solutions. All right, just understanding. So it's crazy because I love like getting deals. I'm the guy who gets a deal, and I gotta admit, like, I make sure a lot of people know that I got a deal. So they're like, oh, man, those are nice shoes. I'll be like, you know how much I got them for? I'm that guy. All right? And I can't help it. And sometimes while I'm doing it, I'm like, I can't believe I'm doing it. I was like, I can't help it. I love it. You know what I mean? I love getting deals. I'm the guy that, when I'm negotiating with somebody, one time we were at I think it was Home Depot, and I was getting this huge item, and they had it marked down, and I turned to the guy. I was like, "Well, can I get 20% off?" And the guy answered, "No, I think I asked for 10%. Can I get 10% off?" And the guy was like, "Yeah, sure." And he answered quick. You know what went through my mind? Man, I should have asked for 20%. Most people would just be like, "Yes, I got 10% off." He was like, he answered quickly. Man, I probably could have asked for 20. That's what, and it's transferred because in life, we want to get, I think everybody wants to get the best deal. And it's, that kind of has transferred to my daughter. Like, my oldest is always looking for the best deal. And I see that in her. I'm like, oh my goodness. So, one time, I think Candace, when she's 3 years old, one time she was, I think three, she can just talk. I think she was 3 or 4. And she was sick. She was sick, and we had to give her medicine. And you know how it is with babies, with kids. Every time to give them medicine, it's you got to fight them. They spit it out. And then, you just got enough medicine, so you don't want them to spit it out and everything. So it was a big deal every time to give her the medicine. So what my wife would do, my wife would be like, hey, if you have this medicine, you can have a marshmallow. Not my daughter. She loves marshmallows. She loves marshmallows. So she's like, you can get a marshmallow if you get this. And so all of a sudden, she's making it through. And it's like those antibiotics that's 10 days she has to take it. Well, all of a sudden, on the 8th or 9th day, okay, the doctor calls my wife and says, hey, the test came in. And there's something in the test that the antibiotic that you're taking does not cover it. So we're going to have to give her 10 more days of a new antibiotic. So, oh my goodness. So here we are, my wife's announcing the last day. And all of a sudden, you know, she's like, hey, you have to take this for 10 days more. And my daughter's like, no. And she's like, Ellie, you're going to have to take this. I'm so sorry. You said this was the last day. This was the last day. And she was like, I know I said that, but the doctor called. Now, try to explain that. You know what I mean, too? And so my wife again is like, Ellie, you'll get a marshmallow. And this is what my daughter did. She looked right at my wife and she said, two marshmallows. You see, we want, like, that's, I think everybody wants the best value for their life. I think this is a common thing. Nobody wants to walk through life getting a less value. And I love this Mission Sunday because we're building the kingdom of God. Like, we get to see, you get to see the global impact of this church in the building of the kingdom of God. And if you think about it, what is the kingdom of God? Like, what is the kingdom of God? There was a great question in Luke 17 asked to Jesus. All right, Luke 17, 20 to 21, it says, once on being asked by a Pharisee, when the kingdom of God will come. Now, this question was commonly asked to Jesus. Why? Because they really thought that a physical kingdom was going to come. Like, they really thought that the new Messiah, or if when the new Messiah come, that he was going to be, you know, richer and wiser than Solomon. And he was going to be, you know, he was going to be stronger and more mighty than David. So they thought they were being under oppressed by the Romans. So they thought that the new Messiah was going to come, take up arms and take over. So this was a common question that was asked to Jesus at this time. Jesus replied, it says, the coming of the kingdom of God is not something that you can observe. So you can't see it. No, will people say, here it is, or there it is, because the kingdom of God is in your midst. It's in front of you. He's basically saying that I am the kingdom of God. I am the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is in front of you. It's not something physical. It's not an empire. It's not brick and mortar. It is me. And as we accept Jesus, as we accept him into our lives, we become a part of the kingdom of God. That is the kingdom of God being built. In John 3, 5 through 7, it says, Jesus answered, very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and of the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to the Spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. So basically, as we accept Jesus, the kingdom of God is being built. Right? As people come to know Jesus, as people surrender their life over to Jesus and say, I want you to be my Lord. I want to follow you. The kingdom of God is being built. And like, that's where Jesus put his value. That's what he came to this earth. Jesus being a missionary, right? He was in heaven, came down to earth, and he invested in this concept, of building the kingdom of God. People knowing who he is, people knowing his love, people knowing that he is the creator of the universe and that he truly loves them, that he is here to forgive and he is here to teach us how to love others and forgive others and to serve others. You see, and here's what's great about the kingdom of God. Here's what's great about the kingdom of God. It's eternal. The kingdom of God is eternal. It says in Daniel 4, 3, how great are his signs. How mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an eternal kingdom His dominion endures from generation to generation. Like, it is eternal kingdom. Here's what's great about the kingdom of God, right? Right, once we accept him in our lives and we follow him, like, it's eternal. Like, once we follow him in our lives, once we live that out in our lives here on earth, it's eternal. Like, when people come to know Jesus and live that out in their lives, it's eternal. To think the day we accepted Jesus, the day we came to know him, and when we live that out in our life, if we continue to follow him throughout our lives, that is eternal. That decision continued on in our life, if we continue to pursue him, is an eternal decision. Like, that just blows me away, right? And when we're talking about value, right? When we're talking about making an investment, when we're talking about literally having our lives mean something and getting the most worth of our lives. Like, because we want to get the best value of our lives. Like, we want our lives to make the greatest impact, positive impact on this earth that it can possibly make. Like, we want, in a sense, the best deal for our life. We want the best that we can do for our life. And in Matthew 13, 44 to 46, it talks about this concept of the kingdom of God. It says in 44, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy, I love how it says this, in his joy went and sold all he had and brought that field. Right? So he finds a treasure in the field. He hides again. He buys, with everything, with all the joy, he buys, gives everything he has for it and buys that field, right? And then again, he has another example in 45. It says, again, right? So when Jesus has two examples on something, this is powerful. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he finds one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and brought it. He bought it. You see, one thing that we got to understand is that the kingdom of God is the greatest investment that we can make. Like, into the kingdom of God, it is the greatest investment we can make. In fact, it is the only eternal investment that we can make here on earth. Not only is the kingdom of God eternal, it is the greatest investment that we can make, right? What does that mean, right? It's not a physical kingdom, right? It's a spiritual kingdom. And it's as people come to know him, the kingdom of God is being built. That means that the greatest investment that we can make is into people. Into people coming to know who Jesus is, coming to know the good news, the great gospel, the gospel of hope, of life-giving, that their sins have been forgiven, that the pressures of this world do not have to haunt them anymore, but there is a God who truly loves them, who's created and designed them, and truly can have a personal relationship with them. This investment is the greatest investment that we can make. It's eternal. It's an investment that we can make for eternity. Listen, there is no other investment. Your CD, our 401k, our business we build, our buildings we make, our programs and organizations, and those things that we make, our ideas or concepts that we create, are not eternal. But the kingdom of God is. And it's the greatest value of your investment. In fact, Jesus says, and scripture says, it's worth selling everything. For it's worth surrendering everything for. In fact, the scriptures say that with joy, the man did it. Because he knew. And like, that's set so deep. Because like, do I walk through life knowing where my greatest investment can be? In my actions and how I respond, and when hate is thrown my way, when somebody brings like kind of in a sense evilness, or when somebody backtalks, when somebody's being disrespectful, and I walk through life in my day to day, do I understand that my investment, the greatest investment I can make, is in the kingdom of God? It's with joy. It's with love. And live that out in my life. And if to think about this church and the great impact that it's making on this world, look at those missionaries and those booths out there, about this impact that is making, this internal impact on this universe, on this world that is being made. How awesome is that? How great of an investment is that? How awesome is it once a year to dedicate and to celebrate, to say thank you, God, for this opportunity. Thank you that we can make this global impact. Thank you that we play a small role or a great role in that. To think that there's missionaries all over the world. One of the missionaries, actually from China, we sent the team up and she got to host our team, and we're up there in China, and we had an amazing time. And we actually got to meet some of our students from Chi Alpha that we've discipled and became believers while they're in Chi Alpha, and now are back in China. And we got to meet with them and get a life update. And like, to know, man, I remember the students came back with a video. They're like, hey, I have a video from Jack, Andy. And it was video, and Jack was talking to me and letting me know how everything was going in China. How amazing is that global impact? And, you know, like, it's relationships, right? These missionaries are not really, you know, the programs create the relationships, but truly when Jesus came on this earth, he talked to us through relational terms, and we're building relationships into the kingdom. The kingdom of God is relational. And we've had so many students come to Chi Alpha from all over the world. A lot of students from China, a lot of students from all over. And there was one student from Indonesia. It's the first student at that time that I met from Indonesia. His name was Philip. Right, when I first got to Missouri State, it was Philip's freshman year. Now, I gotta let you know that Philip is an absolute character. Right? He's from Indonesia, which is, I think, population the largest Muslim country. Right? And his Philip. Now, I want to explain to you kind of the rhythm and the style of Philip. Like, one time I come into the Chi Alpha office, and I'm there by myself, and, you know, all I hear is the door swing, but nobody said nothing. And I'm like, I pop out my office. I don't see anybody. I'm like, who's there? And all I hear is like, it's me, Philip. So many stories from Philip. So many good times. And, you know, there's in a sense a cultural barrier and a language barrier. So we had so much fun. Like one time we're going to this conference, this regional Chi Alpha conference. It's our SALT conference, and we're pumped about it. And we have a Facebook group, and, you know, we're giving the students information, be like, hey, guys, we don't have much room in the van at that time. We used to take up a van. Now just students drive up with their cars. But we're like, we don't have that much room in the van, so make sure you pack light. Philip gets on Facebook, and he's like, what is this pack light? I do not have a pack light. Right? So our students, being very helpful, one of them gets on there, and he's like, don't worry, bro, I'll bring an extra pack light for you. Philip gets on and says, thanks. Thank you so much. He's like, I got you, bro. I'll bring an extra pack light. And it's funny, right? While we're out in this conference, so many years, he went to this conference for, you know, for 3-4 years with us, and, you know, discipling, pouring. We've seen him accept Jesus. We, you know, we see him be baptized. We see him come to know who Jesus is. And we've had so many great moments. Like one time, we're at Buffalo Wild Wings with Philip, and Philip is ordering, and he's like, you know, it's time for him to order. And he looks right at the guy. He's like, what's your hottest wings? And they're like, oh, the blazing, I think, is like the hottest wing. And he was like, I'll take that. And I was like, Philip, that's a hot wing. He's like, oh, I got this. Don't worry, right? So I've literally seen Philip eat extremely hot food. And you know how it is in America. Like, they'll advertise very hot, and then you go and try it. And if you're used to hot food, it's not that hot. So, you know, Philip's like, oh, I got this. And I've seen Philip, like, literally destroy food that I couldn't even breathe in. Right? So we're hanging out. The food comes out. And next to me, all I hear is like, oh, and I turn around, he's like, I was like, Philip, I told you it was hot. He was literally sitting right next to me. I was like, Philip, I told you this food was hot. He was like, He's like, I thought it was American hot, but it is Mexican hot. That's literally what he said to me. We had a great time. Like, we seen Philip pray, and at times, at moments, we would, you know, we'll be given updates on how life was going in our Friday night international service. Like, we'll break up, and sometimes Philip would say things. He's like, I'm ashamed of myself. I'm like, what are you saying? He's like, he would say stuff. I feel like I'm a coward. Like, I'm slime. And I'm like, and we're like, Philip, what? Like, why you feel this way? He's like, oh man, like I couldn't stand up for my faith. I would just go with the flow. I'm only here because it's comfortable here. Like I feel like I'm a believer here because it's comfortable. And we're like, what are you talking about, Philip? Well, you know, when you realize the tension, and for him to be a believer in Indonesia, and the risk on his life, Philip was talking was like really harm to his body, or being shunned from a community, or maybe even facing death. So when you contemplate these things, you realize what Philip was talking about. And the conversations, once you start to understand it, become so much deep and real. And we constantly will pray about that with Philip. And sometimes that kind of conversation will come up about, He felt so ashamed. He felt like he was a coward. And he would explain why. And, you know, we'll constantly be praying for him and encouraging him in those things. And I remember, like, when he left. And it was abrupt, because we thought Philip was going to be able to kind of to do his master's and stay a little. And kind of that's the plan. And, you know, towards the end, especially our international students, we kind of debrief with them. And you know, the plan was for him to stay and take his master's, and we're not sure, but all of a sudden we get a text, and Philip's like, I have to go. and I'm leaving next week. And I was out of town, and it just happened so quick. And we just weren't ready for Philip to leave. Like, we're like, we didn't know this was going to happen. And, you know, just everything starts flashing. Like, you know, is Philip ready? What's going to happen? Like, where is the church? And we're like, hey, we know some missionaries up there. And, you know, we thought he was going to stay, so we didn't have time to do the research. And we're like, you know, where are you staying? He's like, I don't know, because I'm literally going to be in this city, and then I'm going to have to find a job. I'm going to go to another city. So we didn't know where he was going to land or be at. So there was just so much confusion. I ain't got to tell, like, a lot of international students, when they leave, we have time kind of celebrate them and encourage them and set like a discipleship plan for them, connect them with missionaries, et cetera, et cetera. But in this case, we didn't really have that opportunity. We didn't really have that opportunity. And I remember like him leaving, it was in a sense, I want to tell you, like kind of like an eerie feeling. Like we were celebrating, but there was this undertone. I got to admit that we're struggling with some fear. We're struggling. I remember talking to Philip and just, I remember, you know, packing the car and there was just enough room, and like he was leaving to go to the airport. I gave him a hug. We prayed over him. I was like, Lord, just protect him. Protect him, Lord. And, you know, once he went back to his country, we tried to communicate with him. And, you know, just Philip just being odd, you know, not only was he awkward in America, I really feel he was awkward in his country too. Just like, you know, we'll get the messages. We're not sure what's going on at times. And, you know, we're like, God, just your Holy Spirit, do something supernatural in Philip's life. God, like you realize in a sense when you're sending back a person back to a country that might persecute him for his belief, it just, you come to grasp how much you need the Holy Spirit. And we would pray, we were praying tongues over Philip. And I remember one time I got a text from a good friend of mine that was a pastor at that time in town, and he built also a relationship with Philip. He called him the Big Indo. Like, what's up? Because he was Indonesian. And it was like, yo, what up, Big Indo, right? And he texted me. He literally texted me, Big Indo. He texted me that. I was like, oh, man. I was like, yeah, man, we haven't heard from him. He was like, hey, my mom and dad are missionaries to Indonesia. His mom, his dad passed away. His mom remarried, and the new man she married was a missionary to Indonesia. And they went to Indonesia, and he connected them to Philip. This is actually my good friend Jordan Hansen's mom, and that's Philip in the picture in Indonesia. Where we had a missionary, an Assembly God missionary there, and we were able to connect. Listen, for me, when you have a relationship with somebody, you realize the investment that is being made. You realize how eternal and how worthy and how great that investment is. So here we are in the great phenomenon of a missions work, in the great mobile movement that you are a part of. We disciple the student and send them off fighting hopelessness in our hearts. And yet God called somebody and sent them to Indonesia. And that person happened to be a parent of one of my good friends. And I get to see the picture of God's kingdom being built. It is eternal. And it is worth it. It is worth every penny. It is worth every time that we invest into it. It's worth everything that we have. We live for it. And you see the global impact that this church is making here in this city with single parents and kids and missions works being done with international students. We have a Chi Alpha missionary going to Purdue here and being a part of that work over there. We have missionaries going over the world, and every bit of it is worth it. It is the greatest investment that we can be a part of. When you have a relationship with a student and you watch him be sent off to a scenario that this world would count hopeless, in the midst of it, and the investments that we didn't give to them, they weren't a part of our missions giving at our Chi Alpha. We didn't even know these missionaries existed, but some church invested into it. Some church said, I will give monthly. Some people from the congregation said, I will give to missions. I will be a part of the Great Commission. It is a worthwhile investment. It is the greatest investment. And they invested into missionaries. And one of my dear friends and students that I weep for is being discipled in a country that persecutes Christians. How great is that investment? It says in the Bible that where your treasure is, there your heart will lie. How valuable, how important for our treasure to be in the eternal and greatest investment of the kingdom of God. Crown Point Church, you guys are witnessing your eternal and everlasting and greatest investment that you can make today. And I thank you so much for your giving. I thank you so much for your monthly sacrifice. I thank you so much for putting our pictures up on your refrigerator, for praying, for bringing that extra check, for giving above your tithes towards missions. Because I want to let you know there are relationships and people coming to know who Jesus is in the midst of some countries did not accept and embrace the gospel. But you know what? It's eternal. And it's the greatest investment that you can make. Pastor Dennis.
Thank you.